read, read books, books. Good morning and welcome to our book pick segment for the, it's the second to the last of the year, if you can imagine that. And if people are racking their brains for those last minute holiday items, well, enter Jackie Callahan, who is here to tell us some great ideas and some great books that are on store shelves, things that are of local interest, things that are of just general interest, and just downright great books. And it's always a pleasure to welcome Jackie to the program. Golden Notebook is right on Tinker Street in Woodstock, goldennotebook.com, and it's a great pleasure to see you this morning.
Thanks, Joe. It's great to be here, as
Thank
always.
You very much. So you have a great you have lots of piles, lots of good stuff. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I think I'm going to begin with music and some suggestions for what one could get for the person in their life who likes to read about music, which, as someone said, writing about music is like dancing architecture. It's not easy to do. So the first book that I wanted to talk about has been getting a lot of attention, and it is called Sam Phillips, The Man Who Invented Rock and Roll, How One Man Discovered Howlin' Wolf, Ike Turner, Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, and Elvis Presley, and How His Tiny Label Sun Records of Memphis Revolutionized the World. That is the full title.
That's a long time.
It is. And it's written by Peter Guralnick, who is really well known as the biographer of Elvis. It's a two-part biography. He wrote Last Train to Memphis and Careless Love. But in this book, he focuses on Sam Phillips, who indeed, he thinks, did invent rock and roll with his Sun Records of Memphis. It is a great book. Peter Guralnick actually knew Sam Phillips for 25 years and knew him very, very well and loved him. And this book is a love letter to Sam Phillips. Its narrative style kind of adopts the way that Sam Phillips actually talked. It's very conversational in how it is structured. And Sam Phillips had an amazing life, an interesting life. He was born in Florence, Alabama. He had a very hardworking family. He worked in the fields. He was exposed to African American music. One of his closest family members was a blind African American man who lived with them. And he had a great ear. And the really cool thing about Sam Phillips was that he knew at an early age that he wanted to be in music. He worked as a DJ, okay? And then he decided that he wanted to actually capture the sounds that he was hearing. And when he started working in the studio, it wasn't so much that he wanted to be the best recording engineer or make the best records, but somehow he wanted to capture the feeling of the best sound that an artist could produce. And so he eventually moved to Memphis, started his small recording studio while he had other jobs, and slowly and surely built a reputation as a good place for artists to record. And there are so many great stories in here about the sessions. So, for instance, a really famous story is with Ike Turner, who was a teenager and had a band, and he was, you know, kind of a prodigy, okay? And they drove to Memphis to record a song that they wrote on the way to the recording studio called Rocket 88. And when they got to the studio, their amp had broken because it was all tied up on the top of the car, right?
And that's what amps do, sure.
And Sam Phillips was like, you know, they were upset. They're like, we can't do it. And Sam Phillips is like, no, we go with it. And so famously, he took like a, you know, crumpled up a bag and put it in the amp. And he's like, it sounds like a second sax. It'll be fine. And so Rocket 88 is actually considered by many to be the first rock and roll song. And so Phillips embraced mistakes, felt that it was part of the passion of the performance. And it's such a cool book. And I really, it's on a lot of best of lists this year. So Sam Phillips.
As well it should be. Sam Phillips, The Man Who Invented Rock and Roll by Peter Guralnick.
Another really cool book that's actually by a university press, by Cornell University Press, to be specific, is a book called Hear My Sad Story, and it is by Richard Pollenberg, who's a professor at Cornell. And it is a book on the true tales, the true history that inspired songs like Staggily and John Henry, Tom Dooley, Frankie and Johnny, all of that. And it is just for someone in your life who's real interested in folk music in America. It's a fantastic book for them. You can read it just whenever you want to read a chapter. It's best read episodically, I think. And it really covers a lot of these songs that, you know, were based on, you know, indeed, Frankie did kill Johnny, except he wasn't called Johnny. He was called Albert and sometimes Alan. And somewhere along the line, it got changed to Johnny, okay? Or Staggily, which had 450 versions.
Oh.
So it's a very, very cool book. Hear My Sad Story.
Hear My Sad Story, which is by...
Richard Pollenberg.
Richard Pollenberg. Oh, yeah. Thank you for that, because I realized I didn't have that on the list. Good. Excellent.
Next book is a photo book by Elliot Landy, and it's a book called The Band Photographs 1968-1969. And Elliot is well known as a photographer of the rock scene in the late 60s, early 70s, very iconic photographs of Bob Dylan and all the rest, but he has very special photographs of the band, and indeed he was with them for this entire year. None of these photos have been published before. This book was just released about 3 weeks ago. Being from Woodstock, I'm partial to this book. It makes a wonderful gift for someone who loves the band or just loves rock photography in general. Another really cool thing and amazing thing to me is that, you know, Elliot fundraised for this book. It's published by Hal Leonard, but he did a Kickstarter to fund it. And I think it just, you know, proves that it is not easy to work, to be an artist these days in photography, in publishing. And it's just, it's a super gorgeous book.
Yeah, we got a copy the other day and we were all passing it around in the office. It's a really beautiful book. The Band Photographs, 1968 to 1969 by Elliot Landy.
So then the next set of books that I wanted to talk about are sort of books for the New Yorker in your life, people who just have an insatiable desire to read about New York City. And as in any year, there's a lot of books that can fit this bill, and some of them are on my list, some of them I'm just going to kind of throw in there right now. One of the big books, fiction books this year that was touted by many is a book called City on Fire by Garth Risk Hallberg.
Yes.
It came out in October, well known because he got like a big honking advance for a first novel, and there was a lot of, you know, splash when it came out. I read it. It's long. It's long.
It's very long.
It's very long.
Yes.
And it's not bad. And there's some really good characters in it. It's an interesting storyline to follow. Ostensibly, it's supposed to be a great New York City book, and I think there's going to be a movie made out of it. But weirdly, it doesn't feel like a New York City book. And so anyone who I meet who lives in the city and likes to read, I'm like, did you read City on Fire? Because I kind of want to see what their take on it is. My take on it is that it's a very well-written book. I'm really interested in the next thing that Garth Risk Hallberg writes, but it's not such a great New York City book. But it might be an interesting gift for a New Yorker in your life.
City on Fire by Garth Risk Hallberg.
Another cool New York City book is called Fun City: John Lindsay, Joe Namath, and How Sports Saved New York in the 1960s. The end of the 1960s, things were kind of crazy in the city and in the country. A lot was going on. The city was fraying at the edges of, decaying infrastructure, strikes, transit strikes, garbage strikes. And this book covers the Lindsay years and then also covers the New York sports teams during those years. So you have Joe Namath, you have the Mets, you have a lot going on, and just kind of the swirl of the story of how sports distracted people from what was happening in the city and unified the city in a way that was hard to do then.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Fun City, and a great, really fun book, too. Fun City by Sean Devaney.
Exactly.
All right.
Two other great New York City books that I have to recommend are St. Mark's is Dead by Ada Calhoun, which came out about a month or two ago, The History of St. Mark's Place in three blocks. And also, I talked about it here earlier in the year, Vivian Gornick's Odd Woman in the City, which is fantastic. Another new book that just came out by a writer that lives in the Woodstock area is called Sharon Tate, A Life, and it's by Ed Sanders. And Ed Sanders is really a great American artist, a musician, a poet, an activist in the 60s, a bookstore owner. And in 1971, he wrote the first book on the Manson family murder, crime, and it was called The Family. And as he talks about in the beginning of the book, there are some mysteries and some things that are hard to let go of. And the injustice of the crime, the maybe nonsensical nature of it, is something that has stayed with him. And he decided that Sharon Tate, who was one of the victims of that crime, deserved her own book. And in this book, which is a really interesting read, a very disturbing read as well, it's a snapshot, especially of L.A. in the late 60s and the life of a subculture that Sharon Tate, her husband Roman Polanski, were a part of. It is really, really fascinating. It covers the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, what that might have or might not have to do with the murder of Sharon Tate. It's an interesting book, and it just came out.
Sharon Tate, and we have time for probably one or two more.
All right. Well, this time of year, we're always really interested in when people ask us for their cookbook recommendations. We all have our opinions. We have a cookbook club at our store, and I brought in three amazing cookbooks this year, really different. The first one I want to talk about is The Food Lab by J. Kenji Lopez Alt. He is a really well-known blogger for... holy moly, I forgot his blog. anyway, he did work for Cooks Illustrated. He went to MIT. And if you Google how to boil an egg and Kenji, it will all come up. He is into the science of how things are done. This is a compilation of a lot of his blogs. And he and it's really, really good. It's not a fancy book. It's not about foaming. It's about how to do things well and easily in your kitchen. Another two books that we're loving to recommend are Lucky Peach, 101 Easy Asian Recipes, Simple Ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do them quick and colorfully. And then probably the best vegan cookbook this season is called Crossroads, and it is a restaurant cookbook from a vegan restaurant in L.A. called Crossroads, and it is amazing. So I recommend all those books, and really walk into any independent bookstore over the next couple days and ask the people that work there what their recommendations are, and they will be happy to help you.
They have them. That's great. All good stuff. For more information on the Golden Notebook and Woodstock and the great work they do, go to their website, www.goldennotebook.com. GoldenNotebook.com. They're at 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock. Jackie Callahan, great to see you again. Have a beautiful holiday season, and we'll see you in the new year.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.